Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You can play either when it's St. Patrick's Day or when you're trying to talk trash about the Red Sox or when you're going to talk about big boats. And today we're going to talk about big boats. Well, one anyway. Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Captain Chris Johnson. He is the captain, or the master, as they sometimes call it, of the TX-10000. No, that's not a variation of Terminator. That is that giant yellow structured double blue barge boat that you see at the Port of Pensacola and was all over social media yesterday. Captain Johnson, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you. Can I make a first observation? I know a lot of the ship captains coming in out of the port are from foreign countries, you know, from Poland, from India, from all over the place. But you're from the United States. You're a homegrown captain, right?
That's correct. I'm from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, welcome back to Pensacola. Tell us about this ship, because I know a lot of people saw the pictures and like, what in the world is that? Are we being invaded by aliens or what? So what does the ship do?
Okay. So the ship's name is the TX-10000. We are a heavy lift ship. It is the largest salvage ship ever made in America, and we specialize in installations and decommissionings of oil platforms.
Okay, so you
what
help.
What that means?
Go ahead.
If you're not familiar with the oil field, we're really focused on the decommissioning side of things right now. And what that does is we remove the platform from the Gulf of America, and the platform itself either gets refurbished or scrapped, and then the bottom section we turn into a fish habitat. So it'll be reefed as an artificial reef. So we're cleaning up the Gulf and creating a healthy fish habitat at the same time.
So pardon my ignorance. Is that ship big enough to go over? I mean, I think of an oil rig as being quite massive. That ship literally goes over the oil rig and lifts the cap off after it's been basically disconnected, and then you turn the bottom part into a reef. That's what you do with that ship?
Correct. You hit the nail right on the head.
Wow. And then, so do you then carry it back to a port to be scrapped, or do you usually sink them like at location, or what do you do with the tops of them?
So the structures themselves, we place them on a transportation barge, and they are towed to the shoreline, to the scrap yard, or to be refurbished.
Okay. All right. Now, the design of the ship I'm absolutely fascinated by because, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you're obviously the expert, it's kind of two barges that work as like pontoons essentially, and then this giant yellowish tan superstructure that is the operation of the crane mechanism goes between them and over them, and it seems like it couldn't possibly be stable enough to work in the waves of the Gulf. It obviously is, but is that... Do I have it right, and how is it possible to work?
So you do have it right. And so the width, we're 314 feet wide, which creates a lot of stability. But we all have, the gantries themselves are able to articulate in all axes, meaning the gantries move along with the barges. So it's not a rigid connection, and that's hard to see. But when you're offshore and you're in a seaway, everything's moving as one. So they're articulating on what we call a pin-and-pin connection.
Waves on the one side are working sort of one way, and on the other side are working the other way. The structure is flexing to I'm understanding. Tell me if I'm wrong. The structure is flexing to allow that to work so that you're not creating stress on the structure itself. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, interesting. Correct. Oh, that I mean, it's just because it's so big, and it's such a, I think of the Gulf having so much wave action. That's why I'm kind of asking you these questions. Go ahead.
No, you've got it.
What kind of size crew do you guys have on board the ship? How many people are operating this vessel?
So generally, the vessel itself, we try to run with a crew of 40. And then we've also got multiple support vessels and tugboats that accommodate us while offshore. So at any one time during an operation, there's you could have 100 players involved directly and then another 100 involved indirectly. So there's a lot of it takes a lot of people to make these operations happen.
So it's kind of a small fleet, sort of. So,
yeah. That's right. That's right. That's what it takes to get it done safe. It takes a lot of personnel.
How many are here in Pensacola while you guys are getting refurbished, and how long will you be here in port? I think I read spring is the target finish date. Is that right?
Well, we're kind of playing that by ear right now.
Okay.
There's a possible departure date of this Friday.
Oh. But, no, I'm confusing you with the other ship. I'm sorry, the naval ship. Sorry. So you guys are going to be here, you think, through the week?
We with the possibility of being here through the weekend, depending on weather. We've got three other boats alongside with us right now that's assisting in this operation. So, you know, we probably got 100 people right now down in the port of Pensacola,
wow,
which we're very happy to be at. This is one of the, you know, the most beautiful, cleanest ports that I've ever been in, and we're happy to be here.
Well, we'll take the praise. The question my tourism people always want me to ask is, how does the crew like Pensacola as a place to come and work? And, you know, it's a working vacation, but it's not a vacation really, right?
That's correct. We don't have anybody really trying to get out of here too hard right now. We enjoy this place, and it's good for the crew. It's good for morale. And we're happy to be here.
Well, if I hear you correctly, if it takes a couple of extra days, not a lot of tears are going to be shed about that. but then again, you got work to get back to. So, well, that's fantastic.
That's right.
Just kind of a rough, so I get a sense of the significance. How long does one of these removal operations take? And like, I don't know, how many platforms do you decommission a year?
Okay, so. Generally, it does take some prep work. Before we arrive on site, there is some work to be done prior to us arriving in the field. So
that makes sense.
Give it, two weeks worth of preparation, and then by the time we arrive on site, this could be 12 to 24 hours, and we remove the entire structure, including the jacket part,
wow,
where the deck sits on. So within a day, you know, it's been there for 30 years, and within 12 to 24 hours, it's completely gone.
That's so fast. Wow. I was thinking it must be days or at least weeks. Wow. So you must do a lot of these over the course of a year. I mean, I assume.
We can. Some years are busier than others.
Sure.
You know, and weather plays a huge factor
that
in our success. You know, we are weather sensitive just due to the job itself. So we are restricted by the weather. So if the weather's good, you know, generally we're going to be offshore working.
Well, thank you so much.
We could possibly 20 in a year.
20 in a year. Okay. Well, that's a lot. And, you know, I love the idea of you guys. Everything you've told me so far just makes me happy. So that's fantastic. Captain Chris Johnson, he is the captain of the TX-10000 with Zenos Marine. They're the ones who work on decommissioning those oil platforms. That's the big yellow ship on the blue pontoons, if you want to think of it that way, at the Port of Pensacola for the rest of the week. Go down and take a look at it. It is an amazingly large vessel. The largest salvage vessel ever built in the United States. Captain Johnson, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, man. I genuinely appreciate it. And thanks for informing our audience.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. 818 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens. A little bit late to traffic. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Chris. I called you Chris.
I know.
Go ahead, John.
All right, still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 90 just west of Avalon Boulevard. And that's Bostic Lane. We've seen traffic starting to back up on Highway 90. I'd say almost to where the PJC entrance is right now. So just avoid that area as they get that finished up and out of the way. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to get that next vehicle or at least look around, and a lot of times you're not quite ready to buy yet, and that's fine. And that's really the time to look. It's not when you got to get a car, because then you're stressed and pressured and, you know, you're freaking out because you're trying to handle transportation and find a new one. Go when you don't quite yet need it. That way you know what to buy when the time actually comes. Go to Frontier and shop around. Check out the buffet of cars. 300 used cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, all on the lot. You can drive as many as you like, sit in as many as you like. Look at prices. If they got what you want, maybe you wind up buying it. That's what happened to us. We were literally just going for a test drive to see if we wanted to replace a car in 6 months. We liked the one that they had that had been so hard to find, then the price we got that was so good that we had to buy it. Bought our Odyssey there a couple of years ago. But yeah, just go and look. It's a, you know, no pressure, just easy. They understand you don't want to be there typically, and that's okay. Look around to your heart's content. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Honey, that flu keeping you up? Did you take NyQuil Intense Flu?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
Yeah, you need NyQuil Intense Flu.
Undo your flu with NyQuil Intense Flu. NyQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms so you can sleep.
You do got this.
NyQuil Intense Flu. The nighttime sniffling, aching, fever, best sleep with the flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We've been doing so good. This council's been doing good. Everybody's been trying to work together. There's been no bickering. There's been no issues. But there seems to be that one common denominator, and it keeps popping up. Mayor, you go to meetings, and then we get letters like this that the public, like myself, because I am not a council member anymore, I'm public. And when public comes to me at my job and say, have you seen this? That's a problem.
Former city councilwoman Sherry Sebastio shows up at city council meeting and talks in Milton, of course, and talks with Heather Lindsay about how it seems like all the drama, all the problems, all the stuff seems to center around Heather Lindsay. Like in this case, if you have not been listening to, this is now the fourth episode today. Go back and listen to the podcast.
Extended version.
I know. This one's a big one. It took a long time. Remember, so how this all came about, Larry McKee made an offhanded comment, Councilman Larry McKee made an offhanded comment about going to the Board of Adjustment meeting. And then in the backup materials, Heather Lindsay had written this extremely scalding letter about the Board of Adjustments, how they weren't doing their job right, and how the people who showed up were all in the wrong, and how the couple that she had taken up for, I guess her friends, the Hawthorns, against this variance on a fence height issue on Dogwood Drive, and, talking about all the various things that took place in this meeting, including allegations of, you know, nudism and perversion and racism and, you know, how dare the members of the board roll their eyes at the city councilman when he was there. And all I could think the whole time was, why are you writing this in a big, long email? The purpose was because she thinks that they need to all be retrained, basically, because you also have this ongoing discussion about a code of conduct for the members of these boards and how, you know, they shouldn't disparage people and they shouldn't disagree with people. And it's all this stuff that's going on. And what I thought, my own takeaway was, why on earth is the mayor and a city councilman and a city councilwoman who wrote a letter but wasn't present and wanted to have it read, why are you intruding on the Board of Adjustments? Like, stay in your lane. You showing up there is really bad form, highly inappropriate, very prejudicial. I don't know if it's an ethics violation. I don't know if it would give somebody a cause to make a case about that in court if they had lost. Now, in this case, the plaintiffs actually won against the will of the three council members. But Sheriff Sebastian's like, I'm at my place of business and people are coming to me with this email saying, what in the hell is Heather Lindsay doing now? And I got to figure all this stuff out.
I own a business in the city, or just outside the city, but I am right here in the city of Milton, and I live in the city of Milton for 25 years. It doesn't look good. We are trying to move this council forward, and you're not helping. You're the common denominator. You're starting things. This letter should have never gone to public. It should have never come out.
Thank you for your feedback.
Meanwhile, the woman who rolled her eyes, who was on the Board of Adjustments, thank you for your feedback, I'm going to ignore that now, the woman who rolled her eyes was named Kara Graber, and she showed up. The Board of Adjustments member showed up. Now, in fairness, they kind of got called up a little bit by the council, kind of wondering what their thought was on this recommendation that they get trained.
Since the letter is a lot about me.
Since the letter is about me and says a lot of things about me, the mic is terrible at the podium. I don't know why. They're working on it.
What I take back from it is this was the second week that we have went over this. We tabled it the first time because there wasn't enough board members coming, so we had to come back. You did not attend the first meeting.
So you don't know the whole story, Mayor. Did you watch the first meeting? You don't know the whole story.
But then you make allegations about me. That you acted in that letter, it looks like I strong-armed the five men to come with me. Howard Steele point blank said no from the get-go, even the first meeting. And they asked, has anybody gone and looked at the property? I was the only one on that board who drove to the property, parked across the street, stood out, looked, take pictures to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And then you have the nerve to talk bad about me after I was the only one on the board who did what I was supposed to do.
What's the expression? Oh, snap. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Wow.
There's more. There's always more. Wow. Go on, John.
All right. So still deal on Highway 90. Just west of Avalon Boulevard, still dealing with that accident. It's causing some delays on Highway 90 westbound. Also, if you're on 98 westbound headed toward the Garcon Point Bridge through that construction zone, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I can't wait for the rest. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Kara Graber, again, Board of Adjustments member in the city council meeting in Milton. I don't know, Kara. I mean, if you're daring to stand up to the council and criticize the mayor, you know, this code of conduct thing, it's not enforced yet, but it's coming. So, you know, be careful. She says, look, I do my job. Why don't you leave us alone?
So would you still send out the letter? Or is it just because those were your friends?
Uh-oh.
And y'all had a discussion, because that's what it looked like. It looked like Mr. McKee, you, Mrs. Mesnick came there to say exactly what it was, and I'm the mayor, and blah, blah, blah. And I even asked during that, how did you find out? Because you've never attended one meeting
before.
And I've been on the board over a year now. Not one person has attended this meeting. But all of a sudden, it's so important to you, and then you turn around the next day and badmouth. That's what I have a problem with. Now, if you want to speak personally, we can talk outside any day of the week. But the fact that you sent it to everybody else, it's horrible. When I was the only one who stepped out and did my job.
Exclamation mark. And remember, this is over a variance in fence height for a dog that will jump above a 6-foot fence and get out and escape and get killed on dogwood. This is over an 8-foot versus a 6-foot fence variance. And this is the thing that the Hawthorns felt the need to deploy, not one, not two, but three city council members on their behalf to go to the meeting. Now, whether they sunshine violated or not, it might not even be sunshine because it's not the kind of thing that ever comes before the city council. You know, it would go before the BOA and then it would go to a court, if anything. So it may not be a sunshine issue, but Did they collude in advance to get together to come here? Or did they show up at the meeting and Larry's like, Heather, what you doing here? And Heather's like, Larry, what you doing here? Why did Marilyn write a letter? What's going on? Now, it doesn't seem like anybody was all that surprised. So then at the end of the meeting, the plaintiff, the woman, Teresa Schreckengoss, the one who has the Mexican jumping dog, she says, I'm new to town, but I'm going to be coming to more of these meetings now.
I would like a formal apology and accountability at one of those meetings for that email that went out disparaging my family, making comments, saying something about my husband's medical condition because she's not a doctor, and finish reading all of that, and specifically the collusion that was taking place, because Ms. Graber did say she'd never seen any of y'all at that meeting before, and I do have information. So I would like accountability at one of those meetings, and I think I will start coming to this meeting because I feel very welcome in my new home, and I hope that you don't treat everybody that moves to Milton like this.
we have the anti-pitchfork posse coalition forming.
Oh, yes.
Howard Steele, Kara Graber, the Schreckengoss, Shari Sebastio.
Wow.
It's fun times. So the mayor responds.
Just to respond briefly, I just did get this letter that was shared by the folks who have come here tonight regarding the Board of Adjustments decision and my interactions. I will study their letter and I will address it, but I don't have the ability to address it right now, but I certainly respect that they have feedback for me to consider, and I'll be taking that to heart. Thank you.
Well, there's a meeting tonight.
Oh, man.
We'll see what happens at tonight's edition of Days of Our Milton.
I'm Therese Crowley. The Midway Blitz immigration enforcement in full swing in Chicago in the name of a young woman, Katie Abraham, killed by an illegal migrant hit and run. President Trump now demanding accountability for another category of city crime and the murder of a young woman refugee on a Charlotte light rail train by a homeless repeat offender. The FBI and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy both investigating.
Your federal tax dollars go to fund a lot of these transit systems across the country, and we have to look at them and say, well, maybe it's appropriate that we start pulling some of that money back, because I don't think the American taxpayer wants to pay for the homelessness and criminal element.
Tells Fox he'll pull back money from systems that don't protect riders. A House panel follows up on government UFO secrets with Florida Rep. Anna Paulina Luna saying some of the stuff we've seen is not made by man. America's listening to Fox News.
From a truck, and then one of...
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, sunshine, 75 degrees here in Pensacola. And we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, large groups of hairy hogs are roaming the Mason Lane area in Escambia County. Folks that work in that area say the county needs to move faster to get those pigs removed.
So, to me, I don't feel like y'all are in such a hurry to pick them up.
That's Juanita Lindsay. She is the director of a nearby child care facility. She and others who work in the area say at least 10 of these hogs have been roaming the streets every morning, and they're concerned for the safety of kids and pets in the area. Escambia County Animal Control tells Channel 3 that the pigs may have come from the old Beggs Lane homeless camp, where the county cleared it out. Several animals were removed, including one large pig. So far, the county says they've removed one of the hogs. They are working to get the rest with help from their livestock officer and other partners. Florida's new sales tax holiday on guns, ammunition, and camping supplies is now in effect. It's going to run until the end of December. The Second Amendment sales tax holiday suspends sales tax on items for hunting, fishing, camping, and allows for savings on a wide range of products. Some eligible items include firearms and bows.
It also allows Floridians to save on supplies needed for other sportsman activities like camping and fishing.
Governor Ron DeSantis promoting that tax holiday yesterday at a store in Plant City. It also covers camping and fishing gear like tents, lanterns, fishing poles, each with specific price limits. More information is available at the State Department of Revenue website. Two Escambia County residents facing federal charges for their alleged involvement in a multi-million dollar fraud scheme. 66-year-old John Carpenzano and 54-year-old Heather Gale Vischer have been indicted on charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering after initially reportedly impersonating Fisher Investments and defrauding victims out of over $2.9 million. If convicted, both Carpenzano and Fisher could face up to 50 years in a federal prison. Their trial set to begin in October. Three people seriously injured in a crash in Pensacola last night. Happened on 9th Avenue right around Keating and Creighton Roads. PPD said the three victims were trauma alerted to a local hospital. As of today, we don't have an update on their condition. Well, the third annual Rock for Vets 5K happens in Pensacola this weekend. It's scheduled to start Saturday morning at 7:30 at Community Maritime Park. All proceeds help homeless and struggling veterans in the area. $40 per person to run. There's also live music, food vendors, and, of course, family activities as well. Now, the House Task Force on Government Transparency is holding a hearing today on UFOs. The chair of the Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets issued a statement saying the American people deserve transparency from the federal government on sightings, acquisitions, and examinations of UAPs and whether they pose a threat to American safety. Witness testimonies expected from Air Force and Navy veterans who've previously discussed witnessing aerial phenomena. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna of Florida says that she's expecting the hearing could have some massive implications in the country. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 90 in Bostic Lane. We're just seeing some minor delays associated with that, but I wanted to let you know. Also, I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit. We're seeing some delays through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a lovely day today with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70. Going into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 88 degrees and a low near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 76 degrees right now and sunshine here in Pensacola. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. Taking a look at your money now this morning. Our markets are up at the opening bell. Not by a lot, though. The Dow's up about 29.5 points at 45,544.42. S&P up 7.75 points at 65,02.99. NASDAQ up about 39.5 points this morning at 21,844.72. Our 10-year bond rate up a bit at 4.055%. Gold price is up 21 bucks at 36.9840. Silver price is down 20 cents at 41.69. Oil prices are up just under a buck today. And looking at that crypto market, Bitcoin up 713 at 112,852. Ethereum's up 52 bucks. Solana's up 2 bucks. Dogecoin up about a tenth of a cent. XRP up 3 cents as well. Apple's unveiling their latest iPhone, and it's the thinnest one ever, at a hardware event happening today. Along with the iPhone 17, they're releasing the 17 Pro and the 17 Pro Max. Announcements are also expected on updates for the Apple Watch and AirPods. Postal shipments in the U.S. are down 80%. Data from the Universal Postal Union said that 88 shipping providers around the globe have completely or partially suspended shipping to the U.S. Those findings come after President Trump ended the de minimis exemption that made lower value shipments exempt from tariffs. While it is likely many postal services could eventually resume shipments, it'll also come likely at a higher price. EchoStar, the parent company of Dish Network, now selling off a portion of its wireless spectrum to SpaceX. The $17 billion deal will see SpaceX make interest payments on EchoStar's debt through November of 2027. It'll also put a long-term agreement in place for EchoStar's Boost Mobile customers to use SpaceX's Starlink direct-to-cell service. Well, South Korea is now reportedly planning to send planes to the U.S. to ferry workers back home that were detained last week in the U.S. immigration raid at a Hyundai plant in Georgia.
More than 300 Koreans were taken into custody during a U.S. immigration enforcement operation at a battery plant under construction in Georgia in an unprecedented mass arrest on September 4th. Seoul's Foreign Minister Cho Hyun called the mass detention of the country's nationals a grave situation and pledged to secure the workers' swift return in good health. The country's flag carrier, Korean Air, reportedly aims to send a chartered plane as early as Wednesday to Atlanta. South Korea is a close U.S. ally and has pledged tens of billions of dollars in American manufacturing investments, partly to offset tariffs. Laura Westbrook, Hong Kong.
And it's 8:39, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so I will tell you, this is designed to make Meg and John feel good. Okay, the beginning of this one is designed to make you feel good, and you'll see why I'm mentioning this. We did a topic a few weeks ago for the frivolous topic, which was how often you clean out your coffee mug.
Oh, and I was just over that.
Yeah, were you? Well, yes, okay, so the inside of my coffee mug, I want to show you, okay? Mm. So I know it's going to gross you out a little bit, but you can see that it's white ceramic on the inside. Oh, John, David is looking from the
other
room.
You did that on purpose.
No, but look.
The white ceramic.
It's white so I can see the grime, so I am more clean-oriented with it now. This is the cleaner version.
Okay, we'll see. We'll be checking in on it.
And you always complain about how I make you think about things. Like, John, when you're on the cruise, you're thinking about how many steps do you go up the stairs.
Oh, I know.
And Meg can't stop thinking about cleaning out her coffee mug all the time.
So annoying. Okay,
so here we have one where I'm thinking about it, too. We make everybody miserable equally. Okay.
David had
but
to
some
see
are
it,
more
though.
Some are more equal than others. Okay. So today's question is another cleanliness question.
Oh, no.
How often and how do you clean your phone? 437-1620, 437-1620. How often and how, like what do you clean your phone? John, let's note this. John, I won't say any of the details, but John is a very phone-oriented person. He's a phonophile, okay? Not a phone-a-friend. Uh-huh. He's a phonophile. He loves his phone and the techs and the gadgets and the new things and all these. He's really excited about the Apple release of the new iPhone today.
Oh, yes.
Very excited. Wait. Okay, so John is a phone lover extraordinaire.
Well, technology. Let's clear.
Okay, sure. Fair enough.
Technology.
How often do you clean your phone?
Okay. since I have a big case on it, I just wipe the screen down.
Wipe it with what?
With like a little eyeglass cleaning cloth.
So an actual product designed for the cleaning of these surfaces, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How often you clean it?
Once a week.
Once a week. Okay. How often you clean your glasses? Because you wear glasses.
Oh, like 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, because I don't like smudges.
But you don't take it out of the case to clean all the gunk that's accumulated around the cracks and crevices and edges?
No. There's no need for that. I'll do it when I turn it in. For the next iPhone.
Meg, 437-1620, how often and how do you clean your phone? That's the question of the day, 437-1620.
Okay, so I have the little plastic thing of sanitizing wipes.
Like a spritz? Oh, you have the wipes. Okay,
the wipes.
Got it. All right.
So when I think of it, I will just reach in and grab one of those and wipe it down. So about every other day.
So just randomly because kind of the random, mood strikes just, you, something inside of your internal gadgets where he just says, time to go.
Internal cleanliness monitor. Right.
David looks like he wants to weigh in on this. David, our news guy, is over there eagerly watching this conversation. David, first of all, were you completely disgusted by the inside of my mug that you could see from over there?
Looked like there might be something living in there.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Just makes my immune system stronger. Ugh. So, anyway.
Ew.
What? How often and how do you clean your phone?
Well, I'm kind of like John where I wear glasses. And so I've got the little alcohol glass cleaners, and I have to clean my glasses every day because my daughter likes to rip them off my face and smudge them up with her fingers.
As kids do.
Right.
Yeah.
So every time I clean my glasses, I clean my glasses with the wipe, and then I use the same wipe to clean my phone.
Okay. All right. So all three of you are basically, thank you so much, David. You may return to producing the news, as I know you do very actively. All three of you are in, I will call, the hyper cleanliness category.
Really? I don't think that's hyper.
Really?
You want to take a guess at how often I clean my phone?
Never.
Once a year.
John had it right. That's a never, ladies.
I've learned, and listen, if you haven't learned anything about the coffee cup, that's a never clean.
So
we just following the pattern.
There's so many things that are coming to mind.
My
right now.
Cleanliness protocol for my phone is, and by the way, this is, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday. This is a massive distinction between us, okay? She is like you guys, you know, routinely. Like the way she does it is she's cleaning her glasses, she uses the wipe to clean her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The leftover, whatever is left of the moisture in the glasses cleaner, she uses to clean her phone. So she cleans her phone, you know, once a day, maybe something like that. And she likes to point out to me, she says, you know, so you're on your fourth phone since we've lived here, and I'm still on my only phone since we've lived here. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I don't think that's the reason. So I am very much in line with the first text we got in here from our good friend John Hutchinson. I don't know whether he's joking or whether he's saying it seriously, but he's pretty much nailed it. He says, I wipe it on my pants after I sneeze on it.
Oh, John.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean,
at least we get some kind of clean.
Besides the fact that you're an LSU Tiger, which I forgave you for a long time
periodic.
Ago, I'm not sure I can forgive
I mean, that's
this.
A known periodic Ew. Maintenance program
that might
right
be an
there.
An LSU
you
thing.
Sneeze, you
it
just
might be an LSU thing.
Sneezing is moisture. Moisture is wiping. Wiping is cleanliness. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. You can feel free to weigh in on whether you think my ways are gross. It's fine. John's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by EC. Seaway Bulkway Service is now calling for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with the accident that happened over in the Pea Ridge, Milton area on Highway 90. Still seeing some delays, just minor. They've got one lane open, so if you're going westbound past Avalon, you'll experience that. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
If you need any kind of video production services, especially for doing online stuff, you know, you're doing an ad for a business expansion or a new subdivision or something that you're trying to sell, Pelican Drones can help with that. They do it all the time. But also, if you're doing, like, client testimonials or you want to do documentation of a structure damage, and this is ground-based or aerial-based drones. Of course, it's in their name, but they do ground-based stuff all the time. A training video for new hires. Or, you know, you want to put something on your website, kind of the About Us place, and you want to use a video instead of just doing text and pictures. All of that stuff is stuff they can do. So any kind of video production services that you need, whether it's aerial-based or not, Pelican Drones can help you with that. Fantastic. They work with all kinds of folks. Buy them by the hour, buy them by the half hour, half day, buy them by the day, and then you own it when they're done with it. So, you know, you don't have to go back for permission to use it again. You have it. No big deal. PelicanDrones.com. Check them out today. 848 News Radio 92.3. All right, we got a follow-up question came in. It's an important one for me to answer. Michael asked the question, Andrew, since you never clean your phone, and I don't think I've ever used a wipe on my phone. I mean, maybe like, you know, we're in the car, my wife is wiping, and she, do you want to use this? And I might just like, okay, fine, sure, whatever. But there's no protocol to it. If it's been a month, it's been a year. I don't know how long it's been since I'll wipe smudges off and stuff like that, but I usually use my finger. That's fine. Or my shirt, you know, whatever. Okay, so,
yeah,
which is, by the way, the same protocol I use on my glasses when I can't. I've got these new glasses that have the, they're lighter, so they're not glass and got the coating on them. I hate that you can't rub a t-shirt on them because it, like the grit that comes in your laundry detergent supposedly will scratch them. Having to use some special microfiber, oh, it drives me crazy. It's so terrible. I love them, they're light, but I hate the fact that
I have to
clean
that way.
Do
you want us to assume that you have a clean t-shirt?
Always. Mm-hmm. I mean, as clean as any t-shirt you'd think I'd wear would be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, so, we've got a track exactly. record going back, on right now.
Back
so.
To a pattern.
Back to Michael, who asked the question, okay, so Andrew, you never clean your phone. Do you take your phone into the bathroom?
Heck yeah.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to
have reading material and games.
Oh, I mean, we talked about the whole hemorrhoid story the other day, of course.
I'm
sure.
Sick.
But see, this is the conversation I had with my wife.
Yeah,
she's like,
no magazines.
What
I
about
mean,
in the bathroom? I'm like, well, you just don't use the same hand, duh.
I'm so not laughing. I'm so not laughing.
I mean,
what world am I in? help me.
One hand to carry, one hand to wipe. I mean,
help me.
This is not complicated.
Help.
What's
help.
The problem?
Help.
And then
I have landed on another planet.
You go
help
to the
me.
Faucet and you wash your hands, right? And after you've washed your hands are what? Fill in the blank. Clean. And after I have clean hands that are probably still just a tiny bit damp, not from dirty water, but from clean water. And then I grab my phone. The natural cleansing motion of my hands that are clean on the phone is going to clean them for me.
Wow.
Just like it cleans the faucet. You people are crazy in your germophobia. I'm crying up in
just,
here.
4-3-7-16-20.
Help.
And Meg is on the floor, shuddering in terror.
Just saying help.
Just help
barely.
Me.
I blinked twice for help, Meg.
Help.
Let's see. Somebody says the phone is help. Much cleaner than my Google search history. Somebody says it gets clean when I rub it on my pant leg to remove the smears. Yes, my people. Yes. Susie says, I'm a nurse and I use my phone in the course of my patient care at the hospital. Trust me, I clean it very often and always after I get off shift. However, probably don't clean it as often as I should when I'm not working. And that's from a nurse. Let's see. Somebody says, if I drop food on my screen while eating it, I lick it. I lick it clean. Saying it out loud makes me question my life choices.
I know, right?
I would totally do that. Let's see. My work phone 2 to 3 times a week, personal once a week. Don says, that was Mark. Don says, I set my phone on top of a box containing an ultraviolet phone sanitizing gadget I got as a gift during COVID and contemplate opening the box. That doesn't actually do it. It's the box.
Contemplate opening the box. That's
afterwards, awesome. I'll occasionally wipe the screen off with my shirt or something. Kim says, I'm a very clean person when it comes to my phone. I wipe it on my pants. Wipe the glass. Somebody else says, front daily with a cloth t-shirt, usually no products. I feel like I take the case off and clean all the crevices every 1 to 3 months. I think that's very, very diligent. Depends on the use. I have kids, so I clean it when I see gunk. I don't use products unless I have a wipe handy. I do use a rubbing alcohol during a deep clean, microphones and speakers, which much. Yeah, and that's true. You do get gunk accumulating those, just like your earbuds. You know, you got to every once in a while clean out the earbuds because, you know, otherwise we won't get into the details. Let's see. Bruce says, so your wife transfers bacteria from her phone to her glasses. Seems like a good way to get conjunctivitis. No, she goes the other way. It's glasses first, then the phone. Let's see. I love the men's bathroom humor. Keep it up, somebody says. Somebody else, the person who asked me about taking it to the bathroom is just like, SMH, I cannot handle all of this. Somebody else.
Me either.
I'm going to end. Oh, I don't know which of these texts to end on, but both of them are quite good. Let me do this first. If you're 64 turning 65 and you're going to go on to Medicare, Ricky Stewart can help you with that. She's great. Oh, my God. I love Ricky so much. She's such a cheerleader, supporter. She's so great. She's such a good encourager and so good with the information. Anyway, she does insurance, and her whole family does insurance. She does this one part, helps you with Medicare, you know, supplement and prescription drugs and Advantage. And what do I do? And she helps you with all of that. It's very easy. Even if you're retiring, same thing. You're going to go on to Medicare. She answers your questions. Check her out online, insuredbyricky.com, or just give her a call, 341-2185. Okay, I have two texts I want to end with. One is, first of all, you nasty as hell. Second of all, how often you clean your phone, Candy?
You don't want to know.
How often do you clean your phone? Yeah, it's never, right? Yeah, we're both a never.
And do you take it to the bathroom?
Every day.
But you use the other hand.
But you use the other hand.
You don't cross hands, right?
No, I wash my hands before. I know where that's.
There you go. Okay, see, there you go. Okay, and she says, and then the last text I'm leaving you with is, this is why I only participate in the frivolous topic anonymously.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bag up, bag up. Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus.
Goggles roof. Good morning, 8:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, my God, laughing off the air quite a bit. All right, John, I still think it's hilarious you think that this version of my coffee cup is the dirty one.
Well, we've seen the extreme version of your coffee cup.
John's got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. We're back to rolling accident free right now. Not seeing any delays either on I-10, I-110. It's all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about buying a house, selling a house, you live with a filthy, nasty person like me, and you just need to change houses entirely, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you with that. Moving to Milton, fleeing Milton. Moving to the beach, fleeing the beach. I don't know what your plan is. Everybody's got different intents in life, but she can help you with all of it. First-time home buyer. Oh, man, I sincerely wish we could go back in time and get our first home bought with somebody like Christina. I mean, she wasn't operating in St. Louis at the time, so it's not possible. But, you know, somebody like her, or, I mean, somebody of her capabilities, which there are not many. Anyway, she's just fantastic. And I think of all the different things that we would have learned to do right the first time instead of, you know, learning from experience, which is a painful way to learn. Anyway, she does know from experience, selling 165 homes last year. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. All right, 8:58 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? The Supreme Court lifted the restrictions on the immigration stops. This is actually in LA. This is actually a very interesting case because, you know, lower court had enjoined ICE from doing what it was doing. The Supreme Court has now, they haven't said that it's good. What they've said is in their emergency docket, which is when they review things before it's really time for it to get to the Supreme Court, but because somebody petitions them on an emergency basis to get a kind of provisional ruling of maybe possibly how it's going to look eventually. This is not a final ruling, but it's when judges at the lower courts are disagreeing and we've got kind of a serious issue, they'll often go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court issues, you know, it's not a final binding precedent. It's just a what we do while it works its way through the court. And their answer is, yes, you're allowed to keep doing this. The basic issue is probable cause. The lower court judge said that you do not have probable cause to be stopping people on the basis of what? They look Hispanic, they speak Spanish, they congregate for, say, job work at sites where other people are congregating like that, where we think there might be a collection of people who are here illegally. He basically said that none of those things qualify as the basis for it. And so location or in certain kinds of jobs, you know, day labor jobs or, you know, working at a Hyundai plant. that's the craziest story. Why getting rid of 400 skilled workers from other countries is benefiting our country? I don't know. Anyway, and it's not really. Okay, when you put all of those things together, none of that stuff qualifies. Well, Brett Kavanaugh, writing the majority kind of preliminary ruling, says, no, when you kind of put all that stuff together, it at least gives you reasonable suspicion of illegal presence. That's why it is okay for ICE to be doing these raids. But that's going to be the issue, is probable cause for apprehending somebody. Local talk in the